As the Rav said, Kino Yud Ches, leading into Kino Yud Tes, is an opportunity for us to, on the one hand, we have the audacity, we have permission to complain, to say things, as Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, we would feel very uncomfortable challenging Hashem in that way. And then to immediately thereafter acknowledge the fact that L'cha Hashem Atztaku V'lanu Bosh is upon him. The Tzidduk HaDin that is so necessary after confronting Hashem in that way. The other night when we were at the Shapiro's home for the summer Halacha Chabur, Ari Burak made a siyum, and he pointed out a beautiful insight. I've been thinking about it a lot since then. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yoma discusses what exactly is the Nusach of Vidoy. And Rav Hamnuna says that the Nusach of Vidoy is Elokai ad shelo notzarti eini kedai, achshav sheno tzarti kilu lo notzarti, a sense of total rejection of self, an unworthiness of even existing. Ofar ani b'chayai, kavachor b'misasi, I'm not worth much when I'm alive, certainly not much more when I'm no longer alive. Hare ani lefanecha kechli mali busha uchlima. And Ari had a very nice insight. He said, if you think about it, it's interesting. To refer to ourselves as a kli that's mali busha uchlima actually is a compliment on some level. Because a kli has value. A receptacle has value. I pointed out, the Chavetz Chaim said that when the Torah says that when the Torah reflects, when Hashem writes in the Torah, reflecting on Torah itself, that the Torah is not an empty thing. The Chavetz Chaim explained that an empty thing also has value. An empty soda bottle also is worth a couple of cents if you drop it off. But a person without Torah, the Chavetz Chaim said, Kilo davareku mikem, is not even an empty kli. So a kli, a receptacle, a vessel to be makabel, is also something. And therefore, part of the vidui is to be able to say that I'm a kli mali busha. I'm willing to make myself into a vessel, into a vehicle, into a receptacle, to be makabel the busha and the klima that I deserve. That's a compliment of Klal Yisrael, a willingness to receive, to be makabel, to accept the rebuke. And again, for a day that allows us and gives us a lot of rishus to complain in a way that usually we can't, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about it, but to be able at the same time, in the same breath, to immediately thereafter say, but let's be real for a moment. L'cha Hashem atztaka v'lanu bosh esapana. It's not your fault, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this kina that we just sang together goes through so many of the failures of Jewish history when Hashem was so generous with us and we were so unwilling to keep our part of the deal. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with Nisim and Eflos, and we clung to the Maaseh Mitzrayim. So much so that there was even a Avodah Zarah in the Amsuf. We thereafter made an Egel, and we doubled down on that failure by offering the Mun to the Egel. L'cha Hashem Atztaka B'midbar lo chasarnu davar, like we read this past Shabbos, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you gave us everything that we could possibly need in the Midbar. V'lanu bosh esaponim b'niyatzos lavan v'chatzeros v'di zahav k'vedubar. And as Moshe alludes to at the beginning of the Parsha, the various locations which allude to various failures of the Jewish people. Let's talk about one just to make it a little bit more real. Lavan. What went wrong? What was Lavan? Rashi says, on the words, Bein Tofel v'Lavan, Amr b'Yochanan, Chazarnu akol ha-mikra v'lo matzinu b'makom sheshmo Tofel v'Lavan. I did my research. I don't find that there's a place called Tofel, a place called Lavan. And therefore Rashi says the name of Yochanan, Elohichan al Edvarim Shetoflu al Haman. That they complained about the man, Shehu Lavan, which is white. Ramosha Wolfson in his Sefer Amunas Yitecha wonders, you have a taina on the man, you have a taina on the color of the man. That's what you want to say about the man. This lechem akilo kel, this bread which is somehow not satisfying to the taivas of Bnei Yisrael. Why pick on the whiteness of the man? It's like a person who complains about milchiks during the 9 days. Let me explain. Rav Wolfson says, if you look in the Zohar, if you look in the Sfar HaKadoshim, look in Sefer Kabbalah, the different spheros correspond to different colors. They correspond to different emotions, different body parts, different colors. Of course, we all know that the color of chesed is white. We dress in white on days where we're beseeching Rachmei Shemayim. We wear white on Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah. We try to be ma'orer that chesed. And the whiteness of the man is merames to the chesed of the man. Hashem Elokech imach lo chasar tadavar. Imagine never having to work a day, to have your food delivered to your home. An unbelievable gift. Rachmei Shemayim, unbelievable chesed. It was an expression of Ava and Chesed. Rav Wolfson says, it's like a baby nursing from its mother. It's not by chance that the mother's milk is white, because that child in his or her innocence is able to suckle from its mother's bosom and to be provided for without any effort whatsoever. It's the ultimate Chesed. The Gemara even says that the removal of the Dam Nida, the redness which represents Midas Hadin, is transformed in some type of way into the white of the milk. And Klal Yisrael complained about the man? Someone does a favor for you and all you have are complaints? And Rav Wolfson says that's perhaps the reason that we eat Ma'achalei Chalav during the 9 days. People are so bothered, it's so hard to eat milchiks for so many days, to find a way to work out a siyum, to be able to be Ochlei Basar, and there's good reasons for a siyum. It's a celebration of Torah, the Torah transcends Chorban. But part of the reason that we eat the whiteness of milk products during these days is because we need Rachmei Shemayim. These are days of din. We want to turn the red to white. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, what's wrong with you? You're complaining about the man. Hashem is trying to pour shefa of chesed upon you to protect you like a baby by its mother's bosom, and all you can see is the whiteness of the man. Tofel v'lavan, to complain about the whiteness of the man. And that's what this kina is about. This kina is about saying, you know what, Hashem, you did your part. After all of our complaints, let's be honest, you did your part and we didn't do ours. We didn't appreciate the kindness. We responded to your generosity with more averos. But I think, and this kina always resonates in a very strong way with me, I think the question then becomes, if we're so indebted to Hashem, if we were to look at the scorecard of history, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout our lives, collectively and individually, Hashem so much. And so often, instead of meeting a Kaddish Baruch Hu in some small measure, we rejected Hashem. We're in debt to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so the question we have to ask ourselves, yes, we want to be a Kli Malei Busha Uchlima, that's a Madrega, but how are we ever going to pay our debts? We're so far behind in our payments. How is it possible to pay a Kaddish Baruch Hu back for everything he's done? It seems like there's nothing we can do. We're so far behind in our payments, we're never going to pay up. We're never going to get out of this mess. So I want to share with you an unbelievable story, such a beautiful, beautiful, and sweet story. A 9-year-old girl walks into a jewelry store in Eretz Yisrael. Rav in Eretz Yisrael told this story. He heard it from the Baal Maisa. This young girl walks into a jewelry store in Eretz Yisrael, 9-year-old girl. She starts looking at the beautiful jewelry in the display cases. And she points to a bracelet. She says, I want that bracelet. I'd like to purchase that bracelet. You have nice taste, little girl. That costs $3,000. So she says, I'll pay for it. I'm ready to pay for it. He didn't say the price. He's thinking to himself, a very expensive bracelet. She says, I'll pay for it. I'm happy to pay for it. Well, who are you buying this bracelet for? Are you buying it for yourself? I'm buying it for my older sister. Buying it for your older sister? That's so thoughtful of you. Why are you buying a bracelet for your older sister? Because I don't have a mother and I don't have a father. And our older sister takes care of the children. And she works so hard on behalf of our family, that I want to buy her a present. It's a beautiful bracelet that you picked up. I'm prepared to pay for it. The girl reaches into her pocket and pulls out a handful of coins. It comes to a little less than 8 shekels. The owner of the store is so moved by this girl's desire to bring a gift to her older sister that he says, wow, that's exactly what it costs. He starts counting up the coins. You have just the right amount. Here, go take one of those little cards on the side, write a little card to your sister while I wrap it up. The owner is so moved, he's wiping away his tears, hiding it from the little girl. And she's so happy, she picked out such a beautiful bracelet for her sister. He wraps it up, he gives it to the girl, she runs home to her sister, gives it to her sister. An hour or so later, the girl, the older sister, comes back to the store. She's horribly embarrassed. She says to the owner, my sister must have stolen this bracelet. I don't know where she could have possibly gotten this bracelet. So he says, no, she paid for it. She paid for the bracelet. She purchased it. So she says, how much was the bracelet? He says, She says, there's no way she could have paid for this bracelet. She doesn't have $10, let alone 10 shekels. So the owner looks at her and he says, I'm telling you, she paid me in full. She paid me in full for this bracelet. She paid me 7 shekel, 80 agurot, and a broken heart. She paid for the bracelet in full. He gives her the bracelet. He says, enjoy the bracelet. He says, I'm a widower. I lost my wife a number of years ago. People come in here all the time, and they buy beautiful gifts, they buy beautiful jewelry, and they're trying to express their love. He says, but when your sister walked in, and she wanted this bracelet for you, I felt that she loved you in a way that was so authentic, that was so real. It was something I hadn't felt in a long time. And he hands her the bracelet, he says, she paid for this bracelet in full. 7 shekel, 80 agurot, and a broken heart. And I think that's part of the way that we pay back HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tisha B'Av. We can count up all our zechuyos, we can dig deep into our pockets and pull out, I learned a few mishnayos, a couple of blot, I gave some tzedakah, I davened a few shmona esrays, and I put it all on the counter, and Hashem looks at it, it's not enough. But when a Jew sits on Tisha B'Av and is able to have a little bit of a shviras halev, v'cha Hashem hatzedakah v'lanu boshes upon him, then we're able to pay in full. Yaakov Avinu walks into his father to receive the brachos. His mother sent him. Yaakov's an ish emes. It's antithetical to his entire being to go in and to deceive his elderly father to take the brachos, which of course they belong to him. And when he walks into the room, v'yarachas reach begadav, Yitzchak smells a very lofty smell, and he declares, re'ei reach b'ni k'reach sada asher berchu Hashem, which Chazal understand, he smells the smell of Gan Eden. Where did that smell come from? Where did that unbelievable smell come from? Yaakov Avinu was so embarrassed to trick his father. He had to do it. It was the right thing to do. His mother told him to do it. He needed to do it. But to deceive his father, to impersonate his brother, to, in quotes, steal the brachos, it was so antithetical to Yaakov Avinu. And he was so broken when he walked into that room. Rav Leibele Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, he explains that when Yaakov Avinu walked into that room to do what needed to be done, but he did it with brokenheartedness, with a sense of Shviras HaLev, that created the smell of Gan Eden. Rav Leibele Eger compares it to a cinnamon stick that snapped in half. That it's dafka, when you crush it, when you grind it, when you break it, that it's able to give off such a sweet smell. And again, that's the Shviras HaLev that we bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tisha B'Av. That's the return to Gan Eden, like the Rav was saying, the original Eicha, the Eicha, Ayeka, the what happened to you, the where are you of Gan Eden. It's that Shviras HaLev that creates that Tikkun that we spoke about earlier this morning. It was a very wealthy Yid from Lublin who did a horrible Aveira. He was unfaithful to his wife. And he came to the Chos of Lublin, whose yard site is today, Tisha B'Av. And he said to the Choza, I want to be Chozer B'Tshuva, I don't know what type of Tshuva I could possibly do. And the Choza of Lublin said, there's only one thing you can do, you need to walk to the center of the Beis HaMedrash, give a clap on the bima, and tell everyone what you did. Berabin. The fellow says, I can't do that. It'll destroy me. You have to do it. It's the only way to come clean. It's the only way to be Mechaper. This fellow can't wrap his head around it, but the Choz of Lublin, he went to the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik has given him a psak. This is what you need to do tshuva. So he starts to make his way towards the bima. He's shaking. The man's mom is shaking. And he gets up to the bima. He slowly wakes his way up to the bima. And he's about to be megala his soul to reveal the horrific avera that he did, barabim. And all of a sudden, right as he's about to open his mouth, he feels a tug on his jacket from behind, and he turns around, and the Choza of Lublin is standing behind him. And the Choza says, you're done. You finished the job. The way you walk to the bima, the fear, the trembling, genuk, it's enough, you did enough, you're done. You paid your debts. You are a kli that's malibusha uchlima. You've created the reach nichach. That's the tshuva that you bring before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kotzker Rebbe, the Heilige Kotzker, said, "There's nothing as straight as a crooked ladder. You lean a ladder on an angle in order to be able to climb the ladder." And the Kotzker Rebbe said, "There's nothing as big as a person who makes himself small. And there's nothing as wholesome," said the Kotzker, "as a broken heart. There's nothing as full, there's nothing as complete, there's nothing bigger and more shalim on a day of brokenness that we can offer a Kadosh Baruch within our own broken hearts." So allow me to conclude with a medrash in Vayikra Rabba, a beautiful medrash in Parshas Sav. On the pasuk of Tehillim of David HaMelech, Zivche Elokim Ruach Nishbara. Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Yudin, Kol Masha Pasul Bebehema Hichshir Ba'adam. Things that are pasul by an animal, which would make an animal a Baal Mum, not fit for Akrava, is fit by a person. A person who comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu broken is in fact more desirable. Amr Rabbi Alexandri, if a person uses a broken vessel, it's an embarrassment. You come to someone's home and they feed you a meal and the plates are chipped and the glass is cracked. You're driving around the neighborhood and your bumper's hanging off your car. It's a little embarrassing. It's a little bit embarrassing. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol klei tashmisho shvurin. But Hashem says, I dafka like broken vessels. That's my lechachila. A kli shavur is the most desirable thing. And the Midrash concludes by quoting psukim after psukim, Karov Hashem l'nishpurei lev, harofei l'shpurei lev, v'ezdaku shval ruach l'achios, ruach shvalim l'achios, lev nidkoim, like it says in the Navi Yeshaya, lev nishbar v'nidcha. That's the type of heart that a Kodesh Baruch Hu desires more than anything else. And that's what Lecha Hashem Atztok of Alonu Boshes Apanim is about. We just davened, we just said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, we continue to feel it throughout the remainder of the day. That feeling that there's a lot that I want to fix, and we're committing ourselves to making those tikkunim, to making those fixings, and to trying to do more. But at the end of the day, when it feels like it can't add up and we can't pay in full, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit of mitzvos, a little bit of davening, a little bit of chesed, and a broken heart. And that's the way that we pay back the Kodesh Baruch Hu for all of his chesed throughout our lives. Hatei Elohai Oznecha.